Well, let's grab our Bibles, and I would like to encourage you to turn to the 10th chapter of Mark, as we've been working our way through Mark's Gospel. We find ourselves in the last section of this book, and I'm going to be again reading in verse 46, and I'll read to the end of the chapter, which you'll see is verse 52. As they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. Let's pray. O Lord God Almighty, we are on holy ground. The Word of God, the Word of truth is open before us. And Father, our desire is that we would see Jesus. We want to behold your Son in his majesty, in his glory, in his power, in his saving grace. Oh, Father, open up our eyes that we might behold the Lord of glory and that we might worship him, for he is indeed worthy of our worship and our adoration. Holy Spirit, help us. Dispel darkness from our minds. And allow us to see the wondrous truth that is before us. We pray this in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, as we look into our passage today, you'll see some similarities between what we saw this morning as we looked at Zacchaeus. And actually, if we were looking at things chronologically, if we were looking at things sequentially, this episode, this account that we're considering right now, took place before what we find in Luke chapter 19 as the Lord Jesus dealt with Zacchaeus. This is as Jesus is entering Jericho and passing through Jericho. Now, remember where he's going. He's on his way to the cross, isn't he? The cross is only days away. It's only maybe about a week away as the Lord Jesus encounters blind Bartimaeus and then shortly thereafter, only moments, perhaps a half an hour, perhaps an hour later, after healing blind Bartimaeus, the beggar, he will encounter the chief tax collector who was wealthy, who was Zacchaeus. Very different people. And we see that the Lord Jesus is very interested in people, even as he's heading to the cross. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what we're told in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. So if you just glance back here at verse 32, you see that Jesus and his disciples were on their way up to Jerusalem. And as we noted this morning, even as we looked in Luke chapter 19, or really there it was 18 that we looked in, we saw that Jesus is now predicting what's ahead of him, how he's going to go to Jerusalem and be delivered over to the chief priests, the scribes. They'll condemn him to death. They'll deliver him over to the Gentiles. In this case, we know that to be the Romans. and they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And that's what happened. That's what happened at the end of that Passion Week, as the Lord Jesus stood before the Sanhedrin and then Pilate, and he was given over to the Roman soldiers to be flogged, mocked, spit upon, and to be crucified. But also, let's never forget, after the Lord Jesus speaks of his passion, he also speaks of his physical, bodily, literal resurrection. In each instance he speaks to us of his impending death, he also adds the fact that on the third day he would resurrect from the dead. So we're told here in verse 46, they come to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. This episode is found in the Synoptic Gospels. We'll read about it in Matthew, here in Mark, and also in Luke chapter 18. We do find a difference, though. When we look in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 30, it's the same situation, but we're told there that it wasn't only blind Bartimaeus, but there was another beggar there as well. Matthew 20, verse 30 says, "And behold, there were two blind men sitting by the roadside. And when they heard that Jesus was passing by, they cried out, 'Lord, have mercy on us, son of David.'" Mark and Luke mention only one blind man. And Matthew, we read of two. Now, there are some who would jump on that and say, "See, there are contradictions in the Bible." But is that a contradiction? Let me give you the law of non-contradiction. The law of non-contradiction. It's one of the basic laws in classical logic. And it states that something cannot be both true and not true at the same time when dealing with the same context. Because we read that there were two, that doesn't mean that there wasn't one. You understand what I'm saying? It's just that the other gospel writers are honing in on this one who is named Bartimaeus, and they choose not to speak about the second blind individual. And this is the only instance, when we read about blind Bartimaeus the beggar, where we have the name of someone that Jesus heals. So think about that when you're reading the Gospels. All these other people that Jesus heals remain nameless, but in this context here of Mark chapter 10, we're given the name of this blind beggar, and he is called Bartimaeus. And also, when you look at verse 36, Bartimaeus, the blind beggar, the son of Timaeus. Now that's a redundancy, because when we have the prefix bar in front of a name, it means the son of, right? Peter, in Matthew chapter 16, Simon bar Jonah. What does that mean? Peter is Simon. He's the son of Jonah. Barnabas is spoken about in the book of Acts of the Apostles in Acts 4:36. What does Barnabas mean? It means the son of encouragement. Sometimes you hear about Jewish boys are going to have their bar mitzvah. What does that mean? Son of the covenant, when they're of age, when they're about 12 or 13 years old. They have a special ritual for a young Jewish boy. He's now the son of the covenant. So anytime you see bar in front of a name, it means the son of. So this fellow is Bartimaeus. He's the son of Timaeus. Now why is it this redundancy there? Well, it's because that Mark is writing to a Gentile audience, and they wouldn't be familiar with this. And so we get an insight into the audience that Mark is addressing. So we have this fellow named Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, and he's sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He's a blind beggar. In Jewish society at that time, he was the lowest of the low. He had the lowest of the low as to station in life, a blind beggar. He depended on the coins of others to make it through the day. He was a charity case. But we see that he's also a pretty astute individual. Now, he's crying out when he hears that Jesus is passing through. He cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Verse 48, people were telling him to be quiet, to shut up. They rebuked him. But he wasn't deterred. He was persistent. He continued to cry out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, we all have five senses, do we not? Right? We have five senses. We're able to hear, one of the senses. We're able to see, we're able to touch, able to smell, able to taste. These are our five senses. Now, I've heard it stated that when you lose one of your senses, or more than one of your senses, the other senses that remain become heightened. You're more sensitive. If you can't see, you're able to hear much better. You're paying closer attention because you're not distracted by the things that you see around you. Well, this man is blind and he's a beggar, but I conclude that he's a pretty astute student of Holy Scripture. Now, why do I say that? Well, he knows that Jesus is Jesus of Nazareth. That's his name, Jesus, and he's from Nazareth. He's a son of Joseph. But he recognizes that Jesus is the son of David, not simply the son of Joseph, his foster father, but he recognizes that Jesus is the Messiah. He's calling him the son of David. Now, again, we have to be aware of the contents of our Old Testament scriptures, because that sets the stage for the one who would be the deliverer, the rescuer of his people. We mentioned before that Genesis 3:15 is the first promise of Messiah, but then that whole concept is developed through the pages of the Old Testament. Messiah is not simply to be the seed of the woman, but he's to come from Abraham's line Abraham and Isaac's line and Jacob's line. And then also the promise was to come through Judah, one of the 12 sons of Jacob or Israel. And then as we saw there in 2 Samuel in our earlier reading this evening, we see that God promises that Messiah will come from David's line. Let me read to you again from 2 Samuel 7, beginning in verse 12. Nathan is bringing the word of God to David, and he says, "David, when your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, David, when you die, God has got a promise for you. He's going to raise up from your seed or your offspring after you one who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." He's talking about a dynasty here. Remember, David wanted to build a physical temple in Jerusalem, but God said, "No, because you're a man of blood. Your son Solomon will build a temple, but I'm going to give you a kingdom that will last forever." And verse 15, "But my steadfast love will not depart from him as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from before you. And your house, David, and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne, David, shall be established forever." And it's a passage we're very familiar with. It's part of Handel's Messiah, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. "For unto us a child is born." This is written by Isaiah, Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, written 700 years before the Lord Jesus would grace this earth. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. We find these statements about David's son who would come and who would fulfill this messianic office. And we find that this Messiah is the son of David, but he's greater than David. And we see that in Psalm 110. The Lord, that is Yahweh, says to my Lord, that is Adonai, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. David's son is greater than him because David in Psalm 10 verse 1 calls Messiah Lord. The Lord said to my Lord. Messiah is greater than David. Messiah is David's greater son, David's Lord. And so coming back here to the blind beggar, Bartimaeus, he has come to the conclusion, as he's listened to people speak, as he's pondered these things, he's come to the conclusion that Jesus of Nazareth is the son of David, who is the true Messiah. And now he's blessed providentially as he's on the side of the road begging for coins. He hears word that Jesus of Nazareth is passing down the roadway. Now we also see that blind Bartimaeus, the beggar, realizes that God owes him nothing. He recognizes that Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of David, owes him nothing. How do we know that? Well, by what he cries out. Jesus, Son of David, have what? Mercy upon me. We can think back to Luke chapter 18, where Jesus gave us that parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector in the temple. The Pharisee is gloating, oh God, look at all the great things I do for you. Aren't you so happy to have me as one of your own? And the tax collector stood afar off. He wouldn't look up, but his head was bowed down and he beat his chest saying what? Lord God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. Lord God, you owe me nothing but your judgment and your wrath. And I'm asking that you'll spare me. I'm asking that you'll show me mercy. Don't give me what I deserve. Give me what I don't deserve. Please save my soul. And that's what that tax collector was saying to the Lord in that particular parable. And we're told that he went home justified because he humbled himself before the living and true God, where the Pharisee was proud and self-righteous. Well, here is blind Bartimaeus, the beggar, on the roadside, crying out to the Lord Jesus, told to be quiet, but he's persistent. He continues to cry out to the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus hears him call, and he stops, and he said, bring the blind man to me. And Jesus said, take heart. They said to him, take heart, Jesus is calling you. And he threw off his cloak. And what does it say in verse 50? He jumped up. He sprang up. He took his cloak off. He didn't want anything to hinder him from getting to the Lord Jesus. And I can almost imagine now, he's just hearing the voice of the Lord Jesus. And he's groping his way in his darkness and his blindness to the one who is calling him to himself. He springs up. He's eager to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says to him in verse 51, what do you want me to do for you? Now this is very interesting. You know, when we look at the proximity of today's passage with the passage we dealt with prior, in verse 35 to 44, what's going on here in Mark chapter 10? We have this episode about James and John. What do they want? Right? They say, Lord, we want to be in positions of power and prestige and influence in your kingdom. You see, they said, Lord, do for us whatever we ask you. That's in 10:35. And Jesus said to them, what do you want me to do for you? That's exactly the same question that Jesus says to blind Bartimaeus, the beggar, in verse 51. What do you want me to do for you? They wanted power and influence. And what does Bartimaeus want? He is not looking for power, influence. He's not looking for wealth. He says, Lord, I just want to see. I just want to have my eyesight restored. That's enough for me. What a contrast when we see James and John, and then Jesus rebukes them. And he says, this is what real greatness is, becoming a servant, becoming a slave. And he gives himself as the example in verse 45 of here, Mark chapter 10. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so Jesus says to Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. Now, there's something you need to see here that's not immediately evident to the English reader. You see the word rabbi? We know what rabbi means, right? It means teacher. It means instructor. A rabbi was a religious instructor in the Jewish faith. That word rabbi there isn't really well translated, at least in my English Standard Version. You know what the word is? The word is rabboni. Rabboni. You remember seeing that word in another place? It only appears twice in the Greek New Testament. It's here in verse 51, but it's also used by Mary Magdalene. After the Lord Jesus resurrected from the dead, the Lord Jesus came to her and she said, Rabboni, and she fell before him. This word Rabboni is different from rabbi. Let me give you Sproul's comment on this. R.C. Sproul says, this slight alteration from the title rabbi is very significant. Rabboni means far more than professor or teacher. It has an intense personal significance and is actually a confession of faith. Bartimaeus was saying to Jesus, my Lord and my Master, I want to see. Restore my sight. In this passage, Mark gives us a portrait of a true disciple who was ragged, poor, and blind, but who recognized the Messiah and addressed him as my Lord and my Master. Jesus had taught his disciples about the importance of being servants. To be a servant is to serve a master. Whereas the disciples failed to grasp that, this blind man succeeded. The term Rabboni was a personal devotion to the rabbi. It was saying, you are my master, you are my teacher, not just a professor or teacher. It's personalized. And so again, we see that this man has a real awareness of who Jesus is. And he's embracing him as his own personal master and personal teacher. Jesus says, Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? And he says, Lord, I want to see. And so, what happens? Well, Jesus restores his eyesight. Now he's able to see. We don't know if he was born blind. We don't know how he came to be blind. Perhaps through an accident. We don't know how long he was blind. We don't know his age. We don't know so much about him. But we do know that he was blind, that he was a beggar, now he's healed by the Lord Jesus. In verse 52, Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight. Now, he has his eyesight back. What's he going to do? Maybe he says, "You know, I grew up here in Jericho. There's a lot of places I've never seen. I've been there. I've heard the sounds of people around me. But I'd sure like to see what my hometown looks like. Oh, I'd like to go see my family members. I'd like to go see some friends I have. I don't know what they look like. I'd sure like to go and actually lay my eyes on them." But that's not what he did once he received his eyesight. It says he recovered his sight, and what did he do? He followed Jesus on the way. Where's Jesus going? He's going to Jerusalem. He's going to be triumphantly entered into the city on Palm Sunday. But after that, they would be calling for his blood. They would be crying out, "Crucify him, crucify him." But we're told that Bartimaeus now wants to follow the Lord Jesus. He's a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's stop and think for a moment. What if the Lord Jesus said to you, "What would you have me to do for you?" What would you ask? For power? For influence? For prestige? For wealth? Or would you desire a greater knowledge of the Lord Jesus? Would you like to know him better and more fully and more completely? James and John wanted earthly power. They wanted earthly greatness. Bartimaeus simply wanted to have his sight restored. What would you ask for if the Lord Jesus asked you that question? Well, how about Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2? What are we told there? "Look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith." 1 Peter 1:8, Peter says, "Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible, filled with glory." Is our prayer, "Lord Jesus, I want to see you better? With the eye of faith, I want to behold you in your glory and in your majesty. I want to be humbled and submissive before you." Do you remember when Jesus had resurrected? He was on the road to Emmaus. He was walking along with a couple of fellows there, asking him, "Why are you guys so gloomy? Why are you so dejected? Why are you depressed?" They said, "Well, you know, Jesus of Nazareth, he was killed. We trust that he was the Messiah. Now he's gone." And Jesus spoke with them. And we're told in Luke 24, 31, after the Lord Jesus went into their home and broke bread with them, their eyes were open and they recognized him. Later on in Luke 24, Jesus is with the couple of fellows on the road to Emmaus who had gone back to Jerusalem, but with the apostles as well. One missing. Well, Judas is dead. Thomas wasn't there. And Jesus said to the apostles there on that resurrection evening, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalm must be fulfilled." Then what did he do? He opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ, the Messiah, should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead." Is it your desire as you're reading scripture? "Oh, Father, open up my eyes. I want to see Jesus. I want to behold him in his majesty and his glory and his beauty." That's what the psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse 18. "Open my eyes, O Lord God, that I may behold wondrous things out of your law." That's why God gives us the Word of God. He wants us to become intellectually understanding of the Word of God, but it can't stop there. The Word of Truth has to penetrate our minds and find its way into our core being. I want to behold you, Lord God, in your glory and in your majesty. The Apostle Paul prays for us in Ephesians 1, 18 and 19. Part of his prayer is that the eyes of our hearts, the eyes of our understanding might be enlightened, that we might know the hope to which God has called us, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, that we might know the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us, we who believe, according to the working of his great might. Bartimaeus, the true disciple of the Lord Jesus, he recognized him as the son of David. He called him Rabboni. You're my master. You're my teacher. And I want to see. And the Lord Jesus gave him physical eyesight. But he pursued the Lord Jesus after that. He wasn't happy just to have his eyesight restored to him. We shouldn't be happy simply to be saved and reconciled to God. We should want to know our God better and better, deeper and deeper as time goes on. Oh, Lord Jesus, continue to open up my eyes. I want to see more clearly. We learn of the Messiah here, the Christ. We learn here of the promised Son of God who is the Son of David. We see what God can do with a man who was a blind beggar, how he could restore his eyesight, but not only his physical eyesight, his spiritual perception, his spiritual understanding. Spiritual reality now flooded the person of Bartimaeus. He wasn't a blind man any longer. He wasn't a beggar any longer. Now he's a child of God Almighty. He's a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, the true and only Messiah and deliverer and rescuer this world will ever know. May he, the Lord Jesus, be as he was in blind Bartimaeus' life. First and foremost, may the Lord Jesus be first and foremost in our eyes and in our lives as well. May we follow him, pursue him, seek to exalt him in our lives. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, we thank you as we read this incredible account about the son of Timaeus, Bartimaeus. We thank you that you restored his ability to see, not only see physically, but to understand the spiritual realities regarding your son and your kingdom. Father, I pray that we would have real spiritual insight, real spiritual understanding, real spiritual perception. I pray that we will behold your son, Jesus, the son of David, as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. May we delight ourselves in what we learn about him. May he be preeminent in our lives. May our lives center and focus around your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. May we be faithful disciples, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. May he be first and foremost in our eyes and in our hearts. And Father, we recognize that he's on his way to Calvary at this point. He's on his way to his death upon the cross, that death that was ever so necessary so that we could be reconciled to you and be your people. Father, though we do not see your son, we love him. Though we see him not, we rejoice in him with joy unspeakable, full of glory. Oh, Lord God, be glorified in our lives. We pray these things and praise you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.